The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. If you were with us on Zoom, you wouldn't be able to see him, but you could feel him in your heart. It's Professor Jeff Boats.
I'm being a sneaky ninja again. Charles is going to have to come up with a new James Bond image to put over over the.
I'll find somebody for you, Jeff. Don't sweat it. I'll plug somebody in there.
I don't think you've done Timothy Dalton yet. I was just thinking this morning he was my favorite.
No.
Really? He's your favorite Bond?
Well, actually, after Daniel Craig, he's the best. But before Daniel Craig, he was.
Ah, got it. Okay.
Well, I think he was the truest to the books, you know, if you read the books.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Didn't I insert a George Lazenby once? If I remember vaguely. Yeah.
Yeah, I like him too.
Okay.
I'm very unconventional. I think I like my James Bonds exactly backwards from everybody else.
Fine. I'll put David Niven in.
The new one is supposed to be Henry Cavill.
Oh.
That's supposed to be the new Bond.
Really? He's going to be in the new Loki too?
Oh, really?
Okay. Well, he's super cute.
As long as it doesn't interfere with him taping The Witcher, I'm fine.
Right.
A man who knows what he likes when it comes to streaming, and I'm guessing that your plate is really full at this time of year right now. It's Professor Dan Maggio.
No, should it be?
Well, so Leslie and I literally got about 6 years behind on Better Call Saul, and then the show just finished, so we felt like we had to finish it. And she goes, can we watch faster? We're missing She-Hulk. We're missing Rings of Power. We're missing Wednesday Addams. Like, there's a lot out there right
now. Yeah, I don't have Amazon.
I've seen a little bit of She-Hulk. Drew's been watching it, which is hardly a surprise given his comic book obsession. But yeah, it actually seemed not bad.
Very true to the comic.
Yeah. What did you think about, I'm assuming you're watching Game of Thrones prequel, Dan?
Not excited, but I'm willing to give it a shot until the end of this season. I don't appreciate some of the suggested marriages that have come up already. Made me almost want to say, I want my money back.
Oh,
I don't know if you all know what I'm talking about.
I do.
But I'm waiting for it to develop. The young, is it Rhaenyra? She's pretty fantastic. But
cool. You mean the marriage between the king and the child that was suggested? Yes. Yeah, it was kind of weird.
It's kind of
creepy. Well, he passed up the 12-year-old for the 15-year-old.
Right, yeah. I mean,
so anyway, we'll see. See what happens after a season.
Okay. I'll stick for right now. I got one season to go of my gritty Southwestern America crime and legal drama. Professor Dave Chow is popping Tylenol and here to say hi. Oh,
pleasure to be here, as always. So, yeah, it is what it is. Hopefully by next week, I'll have all the drywall in our house, and then we've got a window to replace internally. So lots of plastering. So it'll be interesting.
That's cool. The project is coming along. I mean, winter's around the corner. So
I know. Hey, somebody's got to keep the construction crews going on our street, right, Matt? Hey, I did see your wife mowing the lawn last week, though. So that's...
It's a long story. Maybe not on the air.
No, it's a 12.
Where were your three strapping sons?
Leslie has only mowed the lawn in the 25 years that we've been married. She's mowed it twice. Last weekend was one of those times, and it took a long time. I'll have to fill you all in later.
It's a 12-part miniseries over there at the Maya household. So, I mean, it's a saga.
Professor Beth Oljar is here with us. How did your first week go, Beth?
It was not too bad. I'm glad it's done, of course, as I'm sure we all are, but it was all right. I had some kids who were kind of confused by the concept of the seating chart.
Oh, okay.
Like, I have to stay in the same seat that I was.
You had a seating chart?
I'm really terrible with names.
So
and it's only gotten worse over the years. And since I raised their grades for participation, I need to know who to give the credit to. So, I just tell them, sorry if this seems too high school or elementary school, but I got to do it if I'm going to learn your names. I make a seating chart.
It's It's important. I mean, the fact that you show them that you take effort to get to know them is a matter that is very positive, no matter how you do it. So
I figure as much tuition as they're paying, they are entitled to have their professors, their names.
So Beth, how many students do you have in a classroom? Roughly?
35 in a section of intro.
That's a big deal.
So I have two intros in ethics, which is 22.
Okay. One of my colleagues actually used to make little nameplates for all of them. And have them sit in front, you know, sit in a circle and do it that way. But that could be a little troublesome with 30-some, that's all. So.
Right. Professor Jim Tubbs is here, back in the saddle, so to speak, teaching ethics.
Hello, hello.
Good to see you again, Jim.
Good to be here.
Yeah. So are both of your ethics courses, are they the one-shot dealios where they're going to be 2.5 hours one night a week?
Yeah, except they're hybrid.
Oh.
So we're doing part of it online and part of it in class.
That's kind of cool. Oh, that's good. That's good.
Well, I learned that when I had to teach everything online during COVID. What I discovered was that the lectures I recorded and they listened to or watched at home, they asked more probing questions about than what they heard in class.
Nice.
So I decided I would use that even when I'm meeting with them in class. That have them listen to that first, and then we could talk about it when we got together. And so far, it's working well.
That's great.
What you're describing is called flipping the classroom, and we got a couple of math professors who like to do that now.
Yeah.
Mara does that too, I think, for her chem courses.
Yep. Absolutely true. And again, folks, we are favored by our guest panelists, hoping to become a fixture on the program, Professor Aaron Bell, from Detroit Mercy's basically brand new Center for Excellence in Teaching and Learning. And you also teach in the Department of English.
I do. And I'm hearing a lot of best teaching practices. I am the person that does the nameplate, and I even add a level of alliteration. So like Dave, you could be like delightful Dave. And then I would, you know, connect that, or chipper chow. That would
something.
Be
a way. Or I should be thrown into a chipper. I mean, that too. I mean.
Yeah, all those special devices, but I'm hearing a lot of great best teaching practices. So that's pretty awesome to hear.
You are making Mary Matt, the molybdenum mixer, very blushy right now.
Awesome. Hey, panel and listeners, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Okay, here we go. Dear panel, it's a new semester. That it is. And time for new questions. I hope all the professors had a safe and refreshing summer. Below is my submission of 20 questions all over the map, as it seems as though the professors seem to thrive on that kind of variety. I've taken to not asking for a passing grade anymore, as I know the professors will find their way in answering the most difficult and obscure questions that we listeners send in. I hope they'll enjoy the questions. It's our old friend, Amber Hubley. Thanks for sending these in, Amber. We really appreciate it.
You always send great ones, yeah.
Okay. What was the first TV show that had a definitive season finale?
Definitive?
The star of the show wanted to quit, and so the producers wrote a planned script to accommodate that.
The Virginian.
What, like Webster? No.
Webster.
Sorry, I'm just thinking, like, can you give us a decade hint?
I would say pre-Webster. How's that helped?
Oh, right. Mary Tyler Moore.
No, I would say, broadly speaking, golden era of television, if you take my
name. I Love Lucy?
Mm-mm. A little bit later than that.
Golden era is not helping me in terms of a decade.
I'm sorry.
50s.
Do you mean the 50s?
Gosh. Donna Reed, my three.
This seconds. Kills me because, you know, I know that I'm getting this wrong, and you're all going to yell at me and say, "Matt, well, that was the '80s." It wasn't the '80s, but so I could come.
Was it in color?
No, it was definitely not.
That helps.
I didn't think about black and white. Yep, the star who was going to quit wanted to focus on his high school studies.
Leave It to Beaver.
It was Leave It to Beaver. Jerry Mathers wanted to quit.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty funny. How are hurricane names retired?
Well, it's just alphabetical, right? So
you retire them when they're so bad you don't ever want to use the name again.
Exactly. When there's a certain level of loss of life.
Category 4 or higher?
Yes. When there's a certain destructive or loss of life theme, those names would never be used again.
Yeah, there'll never be another Hazel.
So it's not based on category level, necessarily.
Right.
Not so necessarily. A Sharknado then would be?
It should be retired, period, for no reason other than to retire.
I've seen those movies, actually.
I've watched them, too. They're hilarious. I find them hilarious.
So Hurricane Prasad still has a chance then, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's always possible. Always possible.
Reused and reused and reused.
That one would take about 2 months to get off the East Coast, I think.
There was an errand, and I only made it to tropical storm status. And
You'll be back.
You have a chance to come back. So
perfectly respectable to be a tropical storm.
Yeah,
I think.
I don't think there's been a Hurricane James yet.
Oh well,
weak or strong.
Give it time.
Give it some time.
I think we should have a Hurricane Nebuchadnezzar. That sounds like one that could really do some damage.
If only so people would have to say it
and spell it.
Oh, that's even more cruel to make them spell it.
Professors, the Nishiyama Onsen Kyunkin Hot Spring Resort in Japan holds a world's record. What is that hot spring resort's claim to fame?
The greatest number of people in the hot tub at one time.
That's a really good guess. That is not what I have here, but I love that guess.
Is it highest elevation or lowest elevation?
No, it has nothing to do with geography.
Hmm.
What does it have to do with?
Capacity?
You could say that the greatest number of people have stayed there, but that would be kind of ignoring the root of why that was possible.
Because it's the biggest. It's got the biggest footprint.
Not because it's the biggest, but...
The smallest?
It's the biggest geyser or something? I don't know.
No, it's actually been around, as far as any written history can say, since 705 AD, and has been run by the same family for 52 generations.
Wow.
Incredible.
How cool.
Yeah, but how brutal for the family.
You're like Cousin Wilbur. It's like, you're going to go into the hotel business, right? No, I was thinking about playing the trumpet.
No, it's like, you're like Poe's dad saying, you have the noodle dream.
Oh my gosh.
But seriously, think about that kind of responsibility. I mean,
of running a spa all the time.
Or, you know, I don't know if I ever told you folks, but I always thanked my dad that he never opened up a restaurant, because, you know, then I'd be like, oh, well, Dave, I guess your art school degree doesn't mean anything because you're doing carry out this weekend, you know? I mean, the responsibility is no thanks.
Mm-hmm. Professors, what is an obelus? O-B-E-L-U-S.
Big, tall, pointy thing.
Yeah.
That's an obelus.
Oh, okay.
I thought that too.
I'm looking for an obelus.
Somebody who likes big, tall, pointy things like that.
An obelus.
I'm kind of shocked that neither Jeff nor Dan jumped on this one.
It's a mathematical shape.
It's an orb.
It's got to be a mathematical shape.
It is a mathematical shape.
It's not the octothorpe thing, is it? It's the pound thing?
It's a fairly well-known symbol in mathematics, but which?
Hold on. I'm looking at my keyboard.
Put your phones down.
It's not the infinity symbol, is it?
Yeah, you're really, really close. It's the classic division symbol with the line with the dot above and below. It's an obelisk.
Hey, Jeff, does the infinity symbol actually have a name?
It does, doesn't it?
Well, it's a lemniscate, possibly.
Oh, well, that's the name, yeah, from the graph from Kelp.
Yeah, we get to it in Kelp 2, I think, polar coordinates.
Can't we just call it the loop-de-loop and be done with? I mean...
I call it the infinity symbol.
Yeah, it works.
The only coordinates that matter are Cartesian. Come on here.
There we go. Professors, which U.S. president... Think a little bit before you respond, was the first to have their inauguration live streamed on the internet?
Obama.
Wasn't Obama.
George Bush.
Mm-mm. 43?
No.
Okay.
Well, the internet went public in 94.
So Clinton?
It was. It was Bill Clinton. Yeah, Bill Clinton. Man,
there must have been five people watching back then.
I think you're being generous, Jeff.
My AOL account was...
And they were all hooked up to the Defense Department computer system.
Yes. Hey, how many of the contiguous United States border an ocean or the Gulf of Mexico?
Ooh, 23.
Three on the West Coast. Gulf of Mexico is going to be Texas, Louisiana.
Mississippi, Alabama, Florida.
Arkansas.
Should be counting.
And then there's the East Coast.
Georgia, the Carolinas.
So it's got to be like 20.
So Beth says 20 and Dan said 23.
I say 24.
I'm going to go 28.
If we do a little trick called the Kendra Evans trick and we just put all the numbers in a hopper and divide, you get 21, right, which is the correct answer. About half the states actually border an ocean or the Gulfs.
It's amazing. Kendra's not even here and she gets another one, right?
And she used an obelus.
That's right.
Yes, she did.
I never thought I would live in a state that didn't border an ocean, but somehow I seem to have managed it.
You got something much better, the Great Lakes.
Yeah,
the lakes are all right. I miss the mountains.
What, Mount Clemens isn't good enough for you anymore, Jim?
Yeah.
I miss Mount Hood. I miss the Oregon coast.
How about those garbage mountains on 275 on the way to the airport?
You Midwesterners and your idea of what a mountain is just bizarre.
It's an ice nipple. It's an ice nipple.
We have the chat of God telling us all here down at the bottom that Hurricane James was an Atlantic storm in the 2020 fall season.
Wow. Oh. I missed it. Oh, that was during COVID.
Doesn't count. We're going to upgrade Aaron from tropical storm to hurricane here pretty quick.
Yep.
I had suggested they wouldn't use James because it was a gospel name. And then I remembered, wait a minute, no, it isn't. So yeah. I still now wonder, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have there ever been those hurricanes?
I think there's been a Matthew.
Okay. All right. My theory is quashed.
Professors, on average, how much water is used in one American home every year?
A lot.
Let's do it by number of gallons.
Ooh. So on a daily basis, let's say 10 gallons times 365.
No, not in my shower.
I have four kids. There's all kinds of water happening here.
It's about a gallon every time you flush a toilet.
And then what about washer, dryer, dishwasher?
It's got to be at least 100 or more gallons.
I would say 360,000 gallons.
Average per day?
So this is average per year.
Right. But start with day and multiply by 365.
Okay. Dan always tries to solve these problems well.
So 10,800.
Wow.
So 10,800 is quite low compared to what the number is.
I would say 180,000.
I mean, and that's shooting a bit too high, but it's straight up 100,000 gallons per household per year. You know, wow. A lot.
That's insane.
That's approximately 270 a day.
Well, and in my house, I have a cat who really likes drinking from the sink. So
I thought you were going to say he likes long showers.
No, she loves us to turn on the faucet for her so she can drink at it. I think she likes to think of herself as some sort of lioness, right? She's at the watering hole before she has to go get food.
Oh, she's ready to kill a wildebeest. That's what it is.
Well, you know, the stupid boy lions cannot feed themselves. They have to be fed by the female lions. So she's gearing up before she has to go hunt.
Right. Mm. That's right. Just another quick update. Apparently, there was a Hurricane Matthew sometime after 2007 on the Atlantic seaboard. So there you go.
There were chemicals everywhere. It was really
horrible. The chemical water was present.
Matthew.
Mm. Professors, where would you find on your body your glabella? G-L-A-B-L-L-A. Your glabella.
So that little flap on your ear? The little knob.
No.
Or that thing that holds your tongue to the bottom of your mouth, that tendon.
It feels like that's what it would be. It almost sounds it when you say all those L's, but that's not it. It is a part of your outer face. That much I can give you.
Like bellum, like the head, like the forehead or the like cerebellum.
You basically have hit the nail on the head, Jeff. It is the space between your eyebrows.
Nicely done, Jeff. That was pretty impressive.
Your forehead. Yep.
Deductive reasoning. Wow. Go figure.
Yep. Okay. Can you name the two people who were engaged to Carrie Fisher at some point before she passed a few years ago?
Paul Simon.
Paul Simon, who she actually married, but only from 1983 to 1984.
Okay, so who else did she date?
She made a movie with somebody who was so taken with her that he proposed. They never actually pulled the trigger and got married.
Not Harrison Ford.
Nope.
Oh, the Blues Brothers?
It was Blues Brothers.
Belushi?
No, it was actually Dan Aykroyd proposed to her. Yeah, isn't that wild?
Hmm.
And then he went on and married Donna. I can't remember her last.
Oh, Donna Dixon?
That's it. Thank you.
Bosom Buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which U.S. president? I've never heard this before, and I can't wait to spring it on my American history historian wife. Which U.S. president actually owned a Fabergé egg?
Not 45.
No. I mean, that would be too easy. This is a classic red, white, and blue president of the United States. This is going to blow your...
Was it Wilson?
Nope.
I would say Hoover.
Mm-mm.
Good guess, though.
You know who it was? Of all presidents, it was FDR. That's what it says here. Isn't that wild?
Was it a gift from Marjorie Merriweather Post? She bought most of them.
Oh,
maybe.
I mean, the family had enough money, so, you know, it's not implausible, I suppose.
Yep. This is another great one. Gosh, these questions, Amber, they're through the roof. They're awesome. Only one of Shakespeare's plays is actually set during the time when he would have been alive in the play. Which play is it?
Aaron, please tell us you're a Shakespeare specialist.
I am contemporary American literature, but I kid you not, my computer right now is literally sitting on a full volume of Shakespeare.
How about Macbeth?
That doesn't necessarily tell you which is set in his own lifetime.
Right. I mean, there are some that on the title plate, Jim, I'm thinking back to my high school days of reading those plays.
Is it one of the Henrys?
No, it says here it was only the Merry Wives of Windsor took place during Shakespeare's regular lifetime.
I didn't read that one.
Me neither.
Aaron, a little while ago, we had some wonderful set of questions that I really had way too much fun with, and this is another example of them. I am going to read a lyric from a very famous song with great dispassion, and you are going to say what song that is from. Here's the lyric. We take the pressure and we throw away. Conventionality belongs to yesterday. There's a chance we can make it so far. We start believing now we can be who we are.
Jim, just convert that to a Christmas lyric. I know you can ace it.
Oh, I know this one.
Go for it, Jeff.
But I'll give Aaron the chance.
I have to have you sing it, I think.
Well, I can't do it justice the way Frankie Valli can.
Aha!
Oh, Grease is the word. It's Grease.
Grease is the word, yes. Oh. Professors, you did a fantastic job, and Amber has actually supplied us with what we refer to as an Ask the Professor imponderable, where we ask an open-ended question and the panel chimes in with whatever their personal preference is for that question. She refers to it as a silly bonus question, but we take everything very seriously on the show. Which celebrity would you like to swap 24 hours with and why?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
That would be kind of fun.
She can act, she can sing, apparently she can cook, so.
I think it's a good answer. You get to own a company named Goop, that's awesome.
24 hours, huh?
Yeah, who would you like to swap places with for 24 hours?
Or Barbra Streisand, that would be good.
I think Elon Musk, and I would spend the whole 24 hours giving away his money.
Cool! That's I love it.
I would pick Max Scherzer on a game day, but only provided that I get to have his skills for a day and I get his pay rate for a game.
Yes.
Nice.
That's when you just write yourself a nice, healthy check and run.
That would be the best $1 million I ever made.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's hundreds of thousands of dollars for one game. That's a good choice.
A million.
I didn't even think about sports figures.
Yeah, because I don't have a very good answer to this question. Like, I don't know. I could go in lots of different directions. Like, part of me wants to say Mort Krim, for Pete's sake. Like, I just want to know what's going on in that guy's head, you know? I don't know.
Okay, what about this? If when he was alive, what about Anthony Bourdain for 24 hours?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Yeah.
That
would have been
fun. Drink, binge, and eat like a fiend.
In fact, I just ordered, as I told Dan, I just ordered a Cook Free or Die t-shirt that has the little chef's head with the chef's knife in its hand, in its teeth. Oh, that's teeth.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. I miss him terribly. Yeah. Such a great writer.
Come on, Aaron. What was yours?
I'm going to go off the wall a little bit and go with a hometown hero myself. I'm going to go with Jack White, not only because I think it'd be awesome to play that guitar, but also because he's got some pretty sweet reupholstering skills that I would love to just like bust out with some of my vintage furniture here.
Cool.
Oh, you're a vintage furniture person. We need to talk.
Yes, I love all that. But he seems to lead a pretty charmed life. So I'd go for the rocker.
That's quite true. Quite true. Anything Man, else?
Are we going to stick you with Mort Krim? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. Who did you pick? Who did you pick?
Was it QE2?
That was Dan. Queen.
Yeah, the Queen. Queen Elizabeth.
Who do you want to be, Jim?
Oh, I picked Elon Musk so I can give away all his
money. Oh, that's right. That's right. Sorry.
He's throwing money around. So, yeah.
Now you understand why I can't learn students' names, right? Like it was 10 seconds ago that you said that, or 15. And yeah.
I'm going to leave the rest of the, you know, the panel and the listenership guessing. And I'll just say, I'm 45 years old. I don't know. I'm tired. I got a lot going on. And frankly, that was the moment that I found out that Tom Brady is younger than I am. And never have I felt older in my entire life.
You know, you got to start saying to your students, I'm as old as dirt, which is what I say routinely.
You just tell everyone you got fire for your graduation present. That's all.
I should send to all of you. And I'm afraid this is what our wrap up button is going to be for today. It's a beautiful little video all over the internet this week is sounds you haven't heard in a while. And it's a rotary phone. It's the opening of a VHS clamshell. It's a whole bunch of like old school things from the 80s.
You've got mail. Oh,
yeah. Someone putting a pencil in a cassette tape and re-reeling it from one side to the other.
I remember doing that.
ASMR for old people.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. There we go. So I'm sorry, folks. The time has come to say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Beth.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
Aaron.
Bye-bye.
Dan.
Goodbye.
And Jeff.
Aye, con queso, y'all.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.